sidelong at one another. These two were ancient enemies. How about mighty empires?
Oh, I hate that one, said Offler, the crocodile god. Everyone dies at the end.
Yes, I believe they do. Fate nodded at the lady. Destinies of nations? Certainly. Oh, good. He waved a hand across the board. The disc world appeared. And where shall we play?
The counterweight continent,
where five noble families have fought one another for centuries. And they wrestle one another for the empire. Which will you be? The lady looked at the history stretched out in front of them.
The Hongs are the most powerful. I see they are fated to win.
So, you'll pick a weaker family.
Fate waved his hand again. The playing pieces appeared and started to move around the board as if they had a life of their own, which was, of course, the case.
But we shall play without dice. I don't trust you with dice. We will play with steel and tactics and politics and war.
The lady nodded.
And your move?
She smiled.
I've already made it.
She opened her hand. There was something black and yellow on her palm. She blew on it, and it unfolded its wings. It was a butterfly. This is the butterfly of the storms.
The quantum weather butterfly, Papilio tempestae, is an undistinguished yellow colour, although the Mandelbrot patterns on the wings are of considerable interest. Its outstanding feature is its ability to create weather. It flaps its wings. This is the Discworld. There is the Circle C, approximately halfway between the hub and the rim. Around it are those countries which, according to history, constitute the civilized world, i.e. a world that can support historians. Ephebi, Sort, Omnia, Latch, and the sprawling city-state of Ankh-Morpork. This is a story that starts somewhere else, where a man is lying on a raft in a blue lagoon under a sunny sky. He is whistling an amiable little tune and dangling his feet in the crystal clear water. They're pink feet with 10 toes that look like little piggy-wiggies. From the point of view of a shark skimming over the reef, they look like lunch, dinner and tea. It was a beautiful afternoon. Lord Vetinari, supreme ruler of Ankh-Morpork, was sitting in the palace gardens, watching the butterflies, with an expression of mild annoyance. They just fluttered around, enjoying themselves, in an unprofitable way. He looked up.
Arch-Chancellor, so good to see you. Do sit down. I trust you are well.
Yes, indeed, said Mustrum Ridcully, the head of the College of Wizards. And yourself?
Never better.
They watched the butterflies. A butler brought long, cool drinks.
Arch-Chancellor, I wonder if you could tell me, who is the great wizard?
Ridcully considered this.
The Dean, possibly. He must be all of 20 stone. I suspect from context that great means superior. Not the Dean, then.
Lord Vetinari tried to recollect the faculty of Unseen University. The mental picture that emerged was of a small range of foothills in pointy hats.
The context does not, I feel, suggest the Dean. What context would this be?
The patrician picked up his walking stick.
Come this way.
He led the way through a gate and into something like a dovecot. He took a key out of his pocket, unlocked a door to a wide, square room with a big, unglazed window in each wall. In the centre of the room, standing on a table, was the largest bird Ridcully had ever seen. It turned and fixed him with a beady yellow eye.
Isn't that a pointless albatross? He said.
Indeed.